What's the difference between businesses that succeed and businesses that fail? Hi, this is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Nation Radio, and that's an interesting question, isn't it? You know, why do some business owners work like mad and succeed while others work it out, grind it, put all this effort into their businesses, and yet they still fail? You know, this is something that we look into quite a bit here on Business Nation Radio, and I really thought that it would be a good idea for us to talk about it a little bit and try to get to the bottom of why businesses succeed and what's the real difference. Is it money? Is it capital? Well, sometimes. And certainly the more money you have, the harder it is for you to fail, because you can keep funding your business no matter whether or not you're able to generate new customers. But, you know, I think it's deeper than that. You know, I talk with business owners who tell me, yeah, I'm going to invest in this new product and put a whole lot more time into this new venture as soon as I'm done with this. Or once I've completed a project, I'm going to start another one. I don't want to have too many things going on at one time. Or I'll hear from business owners, yeah, I can't get that done right now. I've got to move on. And I hear business owners tell me one obstacle after another, and they use that obstacle that, you know, as soon as that obstacle is done, that they will be able to start or do something that will help them build their business. And I got to tell you, success comes from overcoming obstacles, not from the absence of them. I have a good friend of mine, Melissa, who created her a business. She had always, you know, worked for other folks and, you know, had jobs and had gotten married and had a couple of kids. And her kids were, you know, I guess 4 and 6 years old, had all kinds of activities that they needed to do. And, you know, they only spent a couple hours a day in preschool. And she decided she wanted to create her own business. And it would have been very easy to say, you know, after the kids are grown, I'll create that business. And nobody would have thought twice. I mean, after all, you know, she's being very busy trying to raise her children. Well, she did not allow that obstacle of the amazing amount of time and energy that she had was required of being a mother to slow her down. And what she did is, in the nights and weekends after the kids would go to bed, or on the weekends she could get her husband to watch the kids for a couple hours, she started creating her own business. And I had the opportunity of working with her and helping her create some of the marketing material for it. And, you know, she did a couple of postcard mailings in order to generate some customers, and eventually became so adept at creating this online systems that huge multinational companies started hiring her to create their online programs. And I think it's really important to think that, you know, if you are facing obstacles, it's easy to look at and go, you know, I just can't get it done because I have this obstacle. That is easy. And you know what? Very few people would have any problem with that. Yeah, he's got an obstacle. That's perfectly fine. But you know what? In this economy, we cannot allow obstacles like that to impede our progress. We cannot allow ourselves to be slowed down, delayed, or in any way deferred from reaching our goal. Together, we have to ignore obstacles. Success comes from overcoming. You know, you see these success stories, and, you know, look at like Donald Trump. And of course, you know, he's going through a lot of challenges right now in the economy, because he has a real estate business, and as real estate is down, you know, he's going to be hurting. You know, a lot of his wealth has dissipated in the last couple of years, and some of his projects aren't doing as well. But, you know, overall, he has become wealthy because he never quits. And he'll tell you, you know, you have to must never, 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 never quit. And the same thing is, you must never, never, never delay starting. You must start. You must break through and push in order to succeed. any delay of worrying about obstacles, waiting until they go away, that will only impede your progress. And if you allow that to happen long enough, you may never move forward in business. And moving forward in business is what we're all about here on Business Nation Radio. I'm Robert Scrobe, your host. We've got a great program today. We're going to talk about the financial aspect of your business as well as social marketing. All that and more coming up after this. This is Business Nation Radio. I am Robert Scrobe. What is the essential secret to business success? What is it that the successful, rich business owners know that the struggling business owner who is doing everything they can just to survive doesn't know? And it does. You know what? There is a secret. You know, I did. You know, you talk. Oh well, what are the insights? What is it that these business owners know? You know, they do know something. There is a key element of business owners and businesses that grow and get wealthy versus businesses that do not. And when this piece is missing, it guarantees mediocrity, and it guarantees that the business owner only creates for themselves a high-paid, high-stress job rather than a business that unlocks them and frees them to pursue their dreams and achieve the freedom that they've always dreamed about. And that essential secret, it's scalable income. Okay, so let me, you know, now that I've said it, let me define a little bit about what I mean by that. For years ago, I was a consultant, and I purchased a consulting company from my boss. I had worked there for a number of years. And when I bought the company, we worked on retainer. And so we would bid out a project, and then it was our responsibility to go ahead and get the project completed. We had an average billable hour at about $25 an hour. And this is not like way back when. This is just in the late 90s, right around 99, 2000. So, you know, it wasn't as if, you know, this was some long time ago. No, we were making $25 an hour just a couple of years ago. And the business was dysfunctional. So what I did over the next few years is I worked with clients. I learned a lot about marketing, and I was able to increase our billable hours over $85 an hour. Now, still not a ton, but a huge transformation. I got to tell you, I was making some decent money at $85 an hour, average billable rate. You know, we were doing very well. And think about it. I was able to get our clients to triple the amount of money they were paying us for essentially the same services. Can you imagine going to your customers and saying, hey, you know what you paid last year? You're going to pay three times that much. Well, I was able to do that. And we can talk a little bit about how that happened. But the most important thing is I was still stuck, because my money depended on hourly work. And so after 3 years successfully tripling our fees, working with our clients so they loved us, I was still stuck in a rut that I could not escape from. And that's when I said, you know, there has to be something else. There has to be something better. And what I figured out is that the smart business owners separate their money from the time and energy necessary to create that money. And what they do is they create scalable income. There's a couple of different ways to do it. Either by creating products that you can create once and sell many times, or by creating a process that allows you, just like a money machine, to manufacture money without direct time for money. So let's think about this. For like a CPA firm, they have that, basically they're billing their time. And so they have a client, they come in, they need a certain amount of work, the CPA firm figures out how much time that's going to take, and they charge a fee for that. But what about the guy who writes the book about how to do your tax returns? He creates that book once, and he's able to sell that book 1,000 or 100,000 times. And so every time the book gets sold, he makes money. Now, of course, the hours for dollar, he doesn't necessarily get, for each book a whole lot of money. However, he gets something. And that is the key, is to have some sort of product. That's one key, is to have a product that you can create once and sell many times. And the other is a process. Like, what about the guy who created Subway? And what is that? When, essentially, yeah, I know it's a sandwich shop, but what it really is, when you get down to it, is a way to make money with a low investment. They have a process of training their sandwich artists and baking their breads and stocking the meat and running the cash register that anybody can do. And so it doesn't require a lot of training, and those employees can run it. So as a owner, that is a process that manufactures money. And so that when you have a business, you must either be creating processes that manufacture money, or you must be creating a product that helps you do things once and sell it many times. And I really want to talk more about this. And so we're going to pick up this conversation in our later segment towards the end of the program. But, it's crucial. In business, there is a secret. And you must figure out ways to create products or processes that make you money so that you don't have to spend hours of your time doing labor to create money. And I know all the reasons why it may not work in your business, but you know what? Let's talk about that at the end of the hour. Coming up on Your Business Nation Radio, I'm your host, Robert Scrobe. We have a couple of terrific guests that are going to share a lot of insights with you. We've got a financial expert. We're going to talk about why businesses fail and what you can do about it in what type of financial reports you need and how you can go and get bank loans to help grow your business. Also, we're going to talk about social media. And whether that's a great opportunity to get new customers or just a big waste of time. All that and more coming up on this episode of Business Nation Radio. Just a couple of years ago, I discovered how to triple my fees, and my customers were never happier. But then I discovered an ugly truth. As long as my income depended on my labor, I was going to be stuck forever. Didn't matter how much I charged, it wasn't enough, because if I took a vacation, my income stopped. If I got sick, my business was closed. I was on a grind treadmill with no way off. But then I figured it out. I figured out a system that allows you to work once and get paid many times for your labors. And I actually recorded a special video that shows you how several people packaged what they know into information products so that they could do the labor once and get paid many times. There's a special website set up with this video. It's at guruquick.com. That's guruquick.com. At that video, I show you several ways that you can create your own products, how you could package them and make them available for sale. This allows you to take what you know and make it available so that people can buy it and consume it without you having to spend your time and labor. You can create the product once and sell it many times. The margins are great because you're selling paper and ink and CDs. Or even better, you're selling downloadable ebooks over the internet. You know what the markup is for a downloadable ebook? Well, I tell you, it's all profit. And I can tell you how you can create an all profit business. And I set up a special video at guruquick.com. That's guruquick Com. Check it out. So you could break the chains of time and money. And so you could do the work once and get paid many times. The website again is guruquick.com. Check it out today. Each of us get into business for many reasons. Chances are it wasn't because we love the complicated financial management necessary to run a business. Cash flow, accounts receivables, gross margins, and labor costs are all a fact of business life. But all too often, many of us business owners don't figure it out until it's too late. My guest, Todd Ramler, has been helping business owners plan for the complicated financial needs of their companies, and he's going to help us today as my guest on Business Nation Radio. Todd, welcome.
Well, thanks, Robert. I'm happy to be here today.
All right. Well, first of all, why don't we start at the beginning? You know, of course, so many businesses fail in America today. Can you, why, what is the most common reason for that?
Right. Honestly, it depends on what study you look at, but the two things that come up are lack of cash management expertise and then undercapitalization. So starting a company without enough capital or cash to run the company long enough to generate sales and profit and have it generate its own cash. So it really comes down to cash flow. And, you know, we hear the expression cash is king all the time, and it's certainly true when you're starting out a new company.
But, Todd, you know, if you're generating new customers, why do you need, you know, all this capital? You know, can't the customers, you know, the sales you're generating give you capital?
Well, they certainly can, but there's a few factors that go into that. The first thing is you're typically investing in some equipment. You know, it may not be a lot of equipment, but it might be computer equipment and desks and, you know, office machines and things like that. Secondly, when you do make a sale, there's often a lag in getting paid. So, you know, if your customer's on terms of net 15 or 30 or 60, you have to float whatever payroll you have to meet, including your own payroll, for that time until the customer receivables start coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times that pay for the entrepreneur is the one thing that they overlook. How can I get through the next 6 months, 3 months, whatever the time frame is, and still, you know, meet my own personal needs for paying a mortgage and car payments and, you know, life expenses?
I remember when I'm a CPA and we were in accounting school way back when, and we kind of figured out that as a business grew, if you also grew the accounts receivables and then the amount of inventory that you needed, the amount of cash that the business required as it grew really escalated. I mean, it was amazing that as a business grows and you're generating more customers and you need to buy inventory to make sales and you need to pay employees, that the amount of cash it demands grows a lot faster than the sales that are generating. And as you said, you know, having a business that's undercapitalized, it could really crash very fast if you aren't planning for those cash requirements.
That's absolutely right. And at the moment right now with the economy the way it is, I think there's a lot of concern from some of the financial people as well as business owners that when things do pick up again, and with the current lack of credit availability, that it's going to be really hard for companies to ramp up to volumes that they were accustomed to 5 years ago, because getting the capital to fund the inventory and receivables for that increase in sales is going to be challenging.
Well, how can somebody battle through that? I mean, what does a business owner need to do in order to make their company look like a company that a bank should really sign up and loan money to?
Right, and that's a great question, and obviously it's changed here in the last year or two. But one of the key things I tell business owners is they absolutely have to have a very clear story when they go to the bank. A lot of companies want to run into the bank right away and try to get whatever they can get with whatever documents they happen to have. Mm. And if they take the time to put together the types of things that a banker is going to want to see to make a decision, which has to do with their current balance sheet, their current assets that they have, as well as future sales and future cash flow, and they put this all together in a format that's going to make the bank's decision-making process easier, and they have a good story for why they're asking for what they're asking for, their chances of success are going to be much better.
Well, Tom Rambler, my guest here on Business Nation Radio, is the small business CFO. He is co-author of the 30-Day Total Business Makeover, Powerful Practical Ideas to Set Goals, Attract Clients, Manage People, and Be Financially Secure. You can check out more information about Tom at his website, MichiganCFO.com, and I'll spell that for you in just a minute. Now, Todd, somebody's running through their business. They got all these customers. They got employees. There's mistakes every day that they got to try to mop up. They got all these challenges that they're trying to. How on earth are they supposed to do all of this stuff and prepare this work that the banks need? I mean, you know, they're not experts on dealing with banks. They're experts on making food or installing plumbing or, you know, doing pest control. I mean, how do they pull all this together for the bankers?
Well, that's a real challenge, honestly, because they're fighting fires every day, like you say. We actually have a resource on the website you just mentioned that is a free report on how to prepare the information to go to the bank, and they're welcome to go and get that if they'd like to. But essentially, you want to have a forecast that's going to show sales and cash going out for the next 12 months or even 18 months. And there's a lot of tools you can get to assist you in putting that information together. But it's really important to put it together and know what it means and know where the decision criteria are in those types of tools, so that you can go in and talk intelligently with the banker.
Well, what I found, Todd, is that not only are those great tools for the bank, but they could also be great tools for the business owner when they know how to read and analyze those financial reports. And if you would, I'd like to, if you can stay after the break, Todd, I'd like to talk to you about how to quickly analyze financial performance, as well as if somebody has kind of a business that's stagnant or just not doing well, maybe how to ramp that up quickly. Would you mind staying past the break for just a minute?
Sure.
All right. If you'd like to check out Todd's website, it's MichiganCFO.com. That's MichiganCFO.com. We'll be right back here on Business Nation Radio with Tom Lambert about analyzing financial performance and ramping up your business after this brief message. When your customers are being barraged with marketing advertisements from every assorted customer, Budweiser, PayPal, Amazon, goodness knows, Geico, all of these companies are barraging your customers with marketing messages. How are you supposed to stand out and get attention when you've got all of these other competitors, not just within your business, but also outside of your business, competing for the attention of your customer? Well, let me tell you, it is through the book Outrageous Advertising, Marketing That Is Outrageously Successful by my friend Bill Glazer. He authored this book after reviewing thousands of marketing pieces, taking the things that he was successful with, getting customer attention in his retail business, as well as others. It's available on Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. Outrageous Advertising That's Outrageously Successful by Bill Glazer. Pick it up today. So many business books and management books talk about win-win and things that really sound great to university professors that just don't seem to work in real life. That's why Dan Kennedy wrote the book, The No BS, Ruthless Management of People and Profits, The Ultimate No Holds Barred, Kick Butt, Take No Prisoners Guide to Really Getting Rich. It's available on Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. It's by Dan Kennedy, where he reveals the insights of why so many business owners get run over by their employees. They get ripped off by their vendors, and they get shysted by their customers. And the insights in this book are extremely revealing because Dan doesn't lie. He's not sugarcoating the truth, but instead he's giving you the real facts of how businesses really operate. The No BS, Ruthless Management of People and Profits by Dan Kennedy. Available Amazon.com, BN.com, and bookstores everywhere. My guest here on Business Nation Radio is Todd Rambler. I'm Robert Scrobe, your host, and we're talking about how you can create forms and materials for bankers to review your financials on your business and get more financing that you need as you grow. A lot of businesses, they had to shrink back down after, you know, maybe 2007, they had grown quite a bit. And then 2008 and 2009, as we finished the year, they had to kind of shrink back. And a lot of businesses, when they go back out to their old banks in order to try to get new credit, maybe one, those banks aren't there, and two, the banks are going to be asking for a lot more paperwork than they did back in 2005 and 2006 when they grew the last time. So as you try to ramp up and buy, you know, replace equipment or fund your accounts receivable or go ahead and buy more inventory as you grow, you're going to find it a lot more difficult in order to get that financing that you need. My guest, Todd Ramler, is an expert. He's the small business CFO, co-author of the 30-Day Total Business Makeover. And my guest today on Business Nation Radio is we discuss the types of forms and information that you need when you go to that banker so that that bank understands your story, knows what you're looking for, knows why you need this money, and sees you as a smart investment on the part of the bank rather than another risky proposition. So, Todd, as you're creating those financial reports, what are some of the things that the bank is looking for and making their decision of whether or not this is a smart investment for their money?
Well, the most important thing is we have to be able to demonstrate to the bank how the bank is going to get repaid. And if we don't demonstrate it to them, they're going to make their own assumptions and try to come to their own conclusion. So when I talk about doing, you know, pro forma financial projections, we want to know the answer to the bank's questions before we even go into the bank, so we know if what we're asking for is reasonable. And if so that we can demonstrate to them that our request is going to be repaid, you know, in 5 years or 3 years or whatever the term of the loan is that we're asking for. But we don't want to just go in with a blind request without data and without being able to demonstrate to them this is why we're asking for it and this is how we intend to repay it.
So how do they read those financials? What are the kind of the things that they're looking for in order to decide whether they think you're going to repay it?
Really, the believability of the revenue projection going forward. It can't be pie in the sky. You know, there has to be some basis for how these numbers came together. Your margins, if your margins are consistent from historical to current in your projection, and then what does that result in terms of cash flow and ability to meet all of the obligations of the business on a cash basis?
Okay. Now, you know, what about these business owners that have got these businesses and they've maybe kind of suffered through recession, they're a little bit stagnant, and they really want to revive them? You know, what is it, what can they do to revive those businesses?
Well, one of the interesting statistics, we did some research earlier this year, and one of the things that shocked me, and not a lot of things with financial research shock me anymore, but this one really got my attention, and the statistics said that 99% of small business owners do not have a written plan for growth. Okay? And so I think one of the key things is to have this plan in writing, and a piece of that plan is these projections that we're talking about that puts, you know, the vision of an entrepreneur onto paper and makes it concrete. And I think just taking some action in that planning process and documentation process is going to make a difference in the results of the company going forward, because if you have a plan and you're committed to the plan, it's not just, you know, an idea that's floating around in the air, and it brings it, it makes it tangible for the owner.
One of the most important things that I've ever done is to create a little, like a map of what my business looks like after 2 years, and then maybe even after 5 years, and to try to, and a lot of times you go, oh, well, you know, goals never work out. It never seems to be the same, and things change. So how could you know now what you want in 2 years? But by creating an outline of what the business looks like, you know, how many hours I've got to work in it, what the margins are, what the types of customers are that I'm attracting to the business, and how I'm going to attract them, the revenue, the different employees that I need in which positions, and maybe even map out to a large extent what the what the job descriptions are, that is a tool that helps me make so many decisions. And so that anytime I've got an employee and maybe they're borderline between working out and not working out, or I've got a customer and they want me to crimp on my margins, and or you know, maybe they're not quite the right fit, I can go to my plan, I go to the document of what my business is supposed to look like in 2 years, and make the decision, does this fit with my 2-year plan or does it not? And man, it makes it so much easier, and I waste a lot less time by creating that type of document.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and a lot of people who do coaching in this area would say you start with a goal that's way out there, maybe it's 5 or 10 years, and then back to 3 years, and then a lot of times focusing simply on the next 90 days will bring sort of the intangible goal that's way out there back into what do I do tomorrow? You know, what are the things I want to accomplish in the next 90 days? And that it doesn't have to be 50 things. It can be 5 or 7 things, and we get through this current 90-day cycle, and then we go to the next 90 days and say, okay, I chipped off 5 of the items that were important to me. What do I want to do in the next 90 days?
All right.
And just small chunks like that.
Well, one of the things that you got to do in the next 90 minutes is check out Todd Ramler's website. His site is michigancfo.com. That's michigancfo.com. And on that site, you're going to find a free webinar as well as a special report with all kinds of research that you can see what it takes to succeed in business from the financial perspective. Todd, thank you so much for being my guest today on Business Nation Radio.
Thanks for having me, Robert. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Is all that Facebook and Twitter stuff a waste of time or an opportunity to make more money? Find out on Business Nation Radio after this. This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Nation Radio. I grew up in the offline world. I watched as everyone was all excited about the internet and online marketing, and at the time, I mostly saw using the internet as some sort of fad. A lot of people were excited about online marketing, but direct mail, telephone, and fax were still more effective at generating new customers. But in the last few years, I've seen the internet blossom into a business-building machine. I've created websites that are just like ATM machines, except better. These machines put money into my account every day automatically. That's why I co-authored the book about internet marketing titled The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet. This book outlines the exact steps I use to create websites that generate new customers and money. I'm not a web programmer. I got a guy who does all that techie work. That's what I want to teach you in my book. The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet teaches you how to create a website and understand what you need to give to the techie guy, how to evaluate what he or she creates, and how to give them the instructions on finalizing it for the web. For more information about the book, including a video of me by my pool, a webinar revealing the secrets of successful sites, and several success stories, visit the book website at www.internetinformationmarketing.com. For years, I looked at claims about the internet with skepticism. I tested a lot of things, but got better results from offline marketing. But in the last 3 years, the tide has really changed. Now there are a lot of people on the web, and millions of them are buying things. There isn't any reason why they couldn't be buying from you. To get them to buy from you, visit www.internetinformationmarketing.com. The site again is internetinformationmarketing.com. Check it out today. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and thousands of new blog posts every hour. How do you keep up with it all? This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Nation Radio, and the volume of information has become overwhelming. Just a few years ago, there was a daily newspaper, the nightly news, maybe a weekly news magazine, and a radio station to keep up with. Even then, there were a lot of days that I didn't get a chance to look at the paper, or I maybe missed the news broadcast, or maybe a couple weeks of magazines stacked up. Now, the volume of information that we get in a day is more than we ever got in a month before. My next guest is Dr. Judith Wright, and she is here to help. Dr. Wright, welcome to Business Nation Radio.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
All right. Well, you know, a few years ago, we could read our paper, watch the nightly news, and feel good that we are an informed citizen. Today, blog posts and comments are updated every second. How do we keep up with it all?
Well, I don't think we can keep up with it all. I think that's part of the issue that you're addressing. And it's one thing to keep informed. It's another when we actually get addicted, which I call a soft addiction, to all of that, oh my gosh, I have to know, I have to log in, I have to get it. That's where it starts to get overwhelming for us.
And it feels like you gotta, if you miss out, you could miss something and somebody's going to know something that you don't.
Well, that's one of those feelings that lets you know that you're starting to get a little bit more addicted. You go, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss out, or someone's going to know something, or someone's going to have a competitive advantage over me that I won't have. Yes, it's important to be informed, but there's judicious ways for us to do that without getting too overwhelmed, without getting so addicted to all the social media and all the ways that information comes to us now.
Now, when does informed turn into a manic problem that you really need to think about addressing?
I think the word you just used, manic, kind of helps. You know, I can't stand it. It's just, I have to check. You know, if you look even just some of the stats, the average Facebook user is on Facebook for over an hour a day. That's average. That's an hour a day. You know, that's a lot of time. Do you really need to be on Facebook for an hour a day? If you're in your business, you may want to be on Facebook. You may want to send out invitations to an event. There's things that are important to use it for. But if you're overdoing it in a way where it's taking away from your productivity, if it's taking away from your time with your family, if you're thinking about it more than you need to, if you're losing sleep and you're getting up first thing in the morning and you're checking your email before you're even out of bed, there are people who sleep with their BlackBerries in their hand. That's what you know.
All right. So when you're sleeping with your BlackBerry, no question, you have gone too far.
Right.
All right. Now, when, there's a lot of folks out there that have marketing strategies that use Facebook or have posts that get posted on Twitter. You know, is there a limit to the effectiveness of those programs, or are we pretty much marketing to all the manic people who can do nothing other than look at their Twitter updates?
Well, that is a good consideration you're talking about. But I think, yes, it is important to use social media in our businesses. It's really the way to market to people now and to reach people within the demographics that are appropriate for our business and our companies. It's ways to get the word out about your products or your services. And I think it's used well. It's a wonderful medium. It's just when it's overused and for the wrong reasons that good medium actually becomes something that becomes a problem.
Now, of course, none of us have a problem with any of these things, but perhaps we know somebody who does.
Yeah, isn't it nice to say that?
What's the how do we approach them, and what are some of the steps that they should take as they try to wean themselves off of this problem?
Well, it is one first is to recognize that it is a problem, that, you know, yeah, this is useful to an extent, but I'm overdoing this, or to help someone find out that it is a problem in a kind of gentle way, or sometimes it needs to be somewhat forceful. If it's taking family time away, or if your employees are using too much time on media and not being productive, those are things that need to be handled. So there's 8 key skills to overcoming any soft addiction, and it applies to being too much into social media as well, that I teach and write about in the Soft Addiction Solution. One of them, the first is to identify that it's a problem, and also then to look at what are the costs. What is this costing me in time and money and energy? But another step that's really helpful is, like, what am I hoping this will do for me? What is it that I really need that I'm letting this substitute for? And oftentimes it's the need to feel important or in the know or to be connected. Those are great needs, but we need to meet them other than just with social media.
Mm-hmm. That's a really neat point. And I think it has to do with finding your goals and what you're really looking to accomplish, and kind of asking the question, is this the best use of my time to help me reach the goals that are very important to me? My guest today is Dr. Judith Wright, and I encourage you to check out her website. It's got all kinds of tools and resources for you to help you accomplish what's important to you. Her website is www.judithwright.com, and let me spell that for you. And if you get a pen and paper, I'll go ahead and spell it out for you to make it easy. It's J-U-D-I-T-H-W-R-I-G-H-T JudithWright.com. That's JudithWright.com. Check it out. She's got a seminar coming up as well as a book about soft addiction. So if you, whether you're hooked on Facebook or looking at anything else on the website, maybe you can't get off of that whole eBay site. You got to see the new auctions as they're coming up. Whatever it is keeping you from accomplishing what's very important in your life, maybe distracting you from interpersonal family relationships or keeping you away from your business, check out JudithWright.com. Now, Judith, any other last advice for folks that are trying to get more done?
Well, I think the productivity is really important, and if we're spending our time, it's just what you said, on what it is that we really need to be doing, rather than getting lost in that hazy, glazy, looking at the internet, looking at a screen, it's very, very important for us. The other part is staying really conscious, and to be productive and to get the work done that we need to get done and to be who we want to be in the world. And our soft addictions actually numb us, they glaze us, they mute our consciousness. So just being awake and alive and ready to go at life is what we need, and overdoing so social media or any soft addiction gets in the way of that.
Well, Judith, thank you so much for being my guest today on Business Nation Radio.
It's great to have been with you. Thank you.
All right. Check her out at JudithWright.com, JudithWright.com. Now, I can understand if you have a soft addiction to Business Nation Radio and you just can't wait until hearing the next segment, and you're in luck because there's another segment coming up. Just after this, stay tuned for more Business Nation Radio. The one book that I recommend above all others is Robert Cialdini's Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. In this book, Dr. Cialdini reviews several different ways that you can influence the behavior of other people. Can you imagine reaching out and getting somebody to do something because they want to do it? And it's all in this book. This book is available at Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon.com, really booksellers everywhere. It's called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, and it's all about getting people to do what you want them to by convincing them that it's something that they've wanted to do all the time. It's pure magic. And Robert breaks down each of the methods of influence, the ways that you can do it, and also he tells a lot of great stories to make it easy to understand. Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. Go out to a bookstore near you or Amazon.com and get it today. So many business books and management books talk about win-win and things that really sound great to university professors that just don't seem to work in real life. That's why Dan Kennedy wrote the book, The No BS, Ruthless Management of People and Profits, the ultimate no-holds-barred, kick-butt, take-no-prisoners guide to really getting rich. It's available on Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. It's by Dan Kennedy, where he reveals the insights of why so many business owners get run over by their employees. They get ripped off by their vendors, and they get shysted by their customers. And the insights in this book are extremely revealing because Dan doesn't lie. He's not sugarcoating the truth, but instead he's giving you the real facts of how businesses really operate. The No BS, Ruthless Management of People and Profits by Dan Kennedy, available Amazon.com, BN.com, and bookstores everywhere. Throughout my years in business, I've identified 16 essential truths business owners must follow to break free and build a lifestyle that gives them income, wealth, and the freedom to enjoy it. I'm Robert Scrobe, and as your host of Business Nation Radio, I bring you one of these business truths each week. And one of the essential truths that I've discovered is that you cannot approach clients. You know, what does that mean? You cannot go get them, you know, and no amount of screaming is going to get customers to come to you. Now, let's talk about that a little bit, because I could see how a lot of people would be frustrated and concerned that, wait a minute, I have to go do my marketing or else I'll starve. And others are going to be, wait a minute, this is exactly what I've been looking for. This is why I've been making so many mistakes generating new customers. So let's talk about it. Now, my daughter has taken writing lessons for a long time, and one of the times when she was, she was probably about 8 years old, this particular farm sent the kids to go get the horses themselves. And it was kind of, building responsibility, something that would, help them mature and learn how to do things on their own. So she goes out there with a little bucket of feed and the lead shank and goes out there to go collect the horse and bring the horse back in order to do the riding lesson. Well, of course, me as any good dad, I brought my lawn chair and my Diet Coke and a magazine and propped myself underneath a shade tree and was going to relax while she went and got in the horse and did her riding lesson. But she came back all hot and sweaty and in tears about 10 minutes later. And I was like, what's going on? What's wrong? And she's like, I can't catch the horse. It won't come. I try and it won't do anything. I chase around the field. And as soon as I would go to one side, the horse would run over to the other, and the horse was out there grazing, enjoying its day. And here's this child walking up to it and obviously dressed for a riding lesson. And yes, there's feed, but at the same time, there's this lead shank that can only mean one thing, which means an hour of, dragging this kid around the ring, working hard, sweating, when the horse could otherwise be just enjoying itself in the field. So the horse chose enjoying itself in the field, as many of us would. So anyhow, I was thrust into service, and now I had to get this horse that obviously didn't want to be caught and take them over to the riding lesson. And, we're kind of running out of time here. It's time to get this thing started, so I didn't have a whole lot of time to mess around. So I walked out there with my daughter, and the horse was grazing, and I said, look, don't walk straight to the horse, and in fact, don't even look at the horse, but instead, pick a point look at that tree over there on the far fence line. If we look at that tree and walk straight to it, that will take us on a path that's just about 6 feet in front of the horse, maybe even 10 feet in front of the horse. But we won't look at the horse at all. Let's just look at that point and walk to it. And, you gotta kind of be careful. If you walk too close to the horse might be spooked. And if you walk too far away, the horse won't even notice that you're out there. So we did that, and we walked past the point of where the horse was. And the horse kind of picked up its head as we started getting close, looking at us, ready to turn and bolt at any moment. And we walked about another 4 feet and stopped. And I said, let's stop here. Don't look at the horse. Just stand here for a moment. And tell you what, why don't you go ahead and count down from like 30? So she started counting down, and at about 18, the horse came up to her and started, breathing like on her shoulder. And I was like, okay, nice and easy. Reach up a hand of grain. And so she reached in the bucket and gave the horse a handful of grain. And then like, oh, okay, now go ahead and very gently snap the lead shank on the halter. And then we were able to lead the horse right back to the barn. And that is essentially the sales process that I've used in order to generate customers for the last 8 years. And I work hard at not looking like I work hard. And that I work tirelessly at making it look easy and like I'm not at all trying to generate new customers. So what happened with the horse? Because we walked out past it and didn't try to attempt to get it, the horse was curious and never really seen that before. It's like, what is this? And, obviously we had this grain, but this was something entirely different. They were used to people walking right up and, they knew how to, the horse knew how to just walk away. But now having somebody who wasn't walking right up to them was really kind of confusing and, in fact, interesting. So the horse came up to us to try to figure out what it was we were doing in the middle of the field looking at the tree on the far fence line. And that's how you generate your customers, is by doing advertising and marketing that isn't trying to sell them, it's trying to educate them. So if, as a plumber, creating a consumer awareness guide, or as, you know, of the 8 things that you should do before you ever hire a plumber. And instead of publishing an ad in a Yellow Pages or in a magazine that talks about how a wonderful plumber you are, instead run an ad that says, hey, we've got this free information about the 8 things you need to know before you hire a plumber. Or as a carpet cleaner, it's the microbes that are living in your carpet that are, you know, that may be infecting your kids and you don't even know about it. Well, so instead of talking about how you have a sale or you'll discount your prices, because that's what everybody is, instead provide information to your customer, allow your customer to become educated, and allow them to be curious. So they're like, huh, I've never seen a company just educate and provide free information before. And that's, you know, you hear a lot about people going out and doing speeches, and you do speeches at different community events and you do speeches at different organizations. Well, that's essentially what's happening here, is as a person giving a speech, you're providing education and information to the group. And so that attracts customers to you, and you're able to, you know, they're then able then to give them a little bit of candy. So you give them a little bit more, and then you go ahead and ask for the sale. So similar to the horse analogy, you go ahead and snap the lead shank on the halter, and then you lead them back to the barn. And that is the sales process that works in any economy, in any environment, and it will work for you. Stop chasing and instead work hard at looking like you're not trying, and at the same time attracting new customers to you. We talked at the top of the show about the creating scalable income and ways to do that, and I want to finish that conversation here after the break. Stay with me. We'll be right back with more Business Nation Radio after this.
This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Nation Radio. I grew up in the offline world. I watched as everyone was all excited about the internet and online marketing, and at the time, I mostly saw using the internet as some sort of fad. A lot of people were excited about online marketing, but direct mail, telephone, and fax were still more effective at generating new customers. But in the last few years, I've seen the internet blossom into a business-building machine. I've created websites that are just like ATM machines, except better. These machines put money into my account every day automatically. That's why I co-authored the book about internet marketing titled The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet. This book outlines the exact steps I use to create websites that generate new customers and money. I'm not a web programmer. I got a guy who does all that techie work. That's what I want to teach you in my book. The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet teaches you how to create a website and understand what you need to give to the techie guy, how to evaluate what he or she creates, and how to give them the instructions on finalizing it for the web. For more information about the book, including a video of me by my pool, a webinar revealing the secrets of successful sites, and several success stories, visit the book website at www.internetinformationmarketing.com. For years, I looked at claims about the internet with skepticism. I tested a lot of things, but got better results from offline marketing. But in the last 3 years, the tide has really changed. Now there are a lot of people on the web, and millions of them are buying things. There isn't any reason why they couldn't be buying from you. To get them to buy from you, visit www.internetinformationmarketing.com. The site again is internetinformationmarketing.com. Check it out today.
Scalable income, the real secret to business success here on Business Nation Radio. I'm your host, Robert Scrobe. And at the top of the program, we talked about creating products or processes to generate money is the real secret to business. And one of the things that I had to struggle with as I tried to transition my business from being a consulting business where I'm just getting paid hours for dollars into a scalable income where I'm taking and creating business processes that generate money that I can, you know, write up and easily train somebody to learn, or a product that I can sell over and over again. Those are the two scalable income processes. But anyhow, the thing that I ran into, the major obstacle was, but that's not my business. My business is providing highly specialized services to my customers. And in order for me to try to scale my business, I've got to find other very talented people just like me in order to grow, in order to scale my income. And as long as I thought that, I was holding myself back. And maybe it's holding, you know, a similar thought is holding you back. You're like, oh man, you know, there's no one else I can do that can do what I do. There's no one else that can make these decisions. I've got to hire such a good person in order for them to be able to perform at my level. Now, this is what I figured out about all that is I had to restructure my business. And instead of selling very complicated personalized services, I had to sell something, a process. I had to sell a product, and I had to break out of the old model, which was, you know, I'll take a job, I'll take a, you know, an hour fee and I'll get the work done no matter what it takes. Or, you know, yeah, you pay me X dollars an hour and I'll perform. I mean, that's no different than an employee. Yeah, maybe it's more per hour, but still you get topped out. But the mental breakthrough happened for me is when I said, you know, I can hold on to this belief that it only requires me, or I could go and create a new business, maybe convert the current customers I have over to these processes, or go out and get new customers to these processes that I've never met yet, and build a new business that allows me to break free of the dollars per hour trap. And that's what I've done. Over the last several years, I've created new subscription programs where I'll create a magazine that maybe only 500 people would want to buy it. Well, but those 500 people, because it's so specialized and something that they've never seen before, very often there's one business I have where they pay $200 a month to receive the magazine and an audio program. So I create the program once and I'm able to sell it to 500 people for $100 every single month. Not a bad little business. I mean, it's not getting me, you know, a millionaire, but it's certainly a nice little income to be able to create something once and sell it many times. And so how can you package what you know into a product that you can sell it many times? And how can you create a process, a system to implement and solve problems that your customers face that you can, you don't need a you level person in order to do it. Instead, you can create a process that anybody else, you can train a high school student or a college student to work through step by step and deliver results. Or even, you know, outsourcing is a popular thing, but, you know, outsourcing it to other countries. But, you know, by the time you do that and you have all the language issues, it's just a lot easier often to just go ahead and keep it within the USA, employ somebody here, and get it all done for yourself. So that is the secret. If there's any secret in business, it is to create scalable income. Coming up next week on Business Nation Radio, we have a great program all about customer service. A gentleman who wrote the book Dell Hell. Remember just a few years ago what a bad reputation Dell computers had with people that, you know, were on customer service for hours with people who didn't speak English? Well, you know, they've turned that around to a large extent. And so we're going to have my guests next week are going to talk about how they'd made that turnaround and what they turned it around to in order to continue growing their business. They suffered a lot by growing so fast that they weren't able to provide good customer service. Also, a neat program next week, looking at your goals for 2010 and how to really achieve more and 2010 than you have in the previous 12 years. That and more coming up next week on Business Nation Radio. Until then, I'm your host, Robert Sprobe, for Business Nation Radio.